Hello, and welcome to the Pod2Pod podcast, where we explore the news, services, technologies, and advice that will help podcast producers and consumers. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm your host, Matthew Passy. On this episode, we have Glenn Rubenstein. He's the founder of Adopter Media. It's a full-service podcast advertising agency. He is also author of a book that I think you're going to find very important. It is Podcast Advertising Works, How to Turn Engaged Audiences into Loyal Customers. This is the first podcast advertising book ever published. It is a great read if you are a podcaster who is thinking about dipping your toe into advertising and getting, you know, partnering up with a brand. It is also a good book if you are a brand who's thinking about actually going out and buying advertisements on podcasters. There's a little bit of something for everybody. It's a great book. I really think you should all check it out. There's other really valuable information in there that might make you think a little bit differently about how you market your podcast and you know, how you go about creating those relationships. We have a link to it on the Pod2Pod bookshelf. You can also just find it on Amazon. It's Podcast Advertising Works. The author is Glenn Rubenstein, and you can learn more about his podcast advertising firm at adopter.media. Now, before we get to that chat with Glenn, reminder, check out pod2pod.com. It's your go-to resource for all things podcasting. There you can sign up for our weekly newsletter, check out the latest headlines, browse our directory of podcast services, surf our calendar of podcasting events, join our podcasting Slack group, and so much more. And I need to stress this enough, you now have the ability to go in there and enter your own events and directory listings. You no longer have to email us and tell us about it and hope that we, you know, get around to it and do it correctly. Go ahead, give it a shot, take a spin. If you have a webinar, meetup, podcasting event, if you offer services, apps, editing, music, voiceover, whatever it is, you think you have something that can be of value to the podcasting community, go to pod2pod.com and find out whether or not your information belongs on our website. It's all free to be on there. Thank you so much for listening. Now let's get to our chat with Adopter Media's Glenn Rubenstein. Very excited to have Glenn Rubenstein on the horn with us today on Pod2Pod. He's the founder of Adopter Media and the author of a brand new book that, whether you're a podcaster or a brand who's thinking about dipping a toe into the podcast advertising market, you're going to want to read this. You're going to have to read it because it's the only one out there on the topic. It's called Podcast Advertising Works, How to Turn Engaged Audiences into Loyal Customers. Glenn, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So you have been doing digital content distribution, creation, marketing, and advertising for a while. So what was it that made you want to sit down and put all this into a book?
You know, it really came from this little spiel that I've developed over the last 5 years, because what I found, specifically working in podcast advertising, is I would get calls from people all the time that worked at agencies or, you know, they worked in the marketing department of companies, and they would say, hey, you know, I've heard podcasts are a really great medium to advertise in, or I've listened to podcasts, so I know the impact that they have, but can you give me some basic information about it? Can you give me, you know, sort of a crash course, a podcast advertising 101, so I can go back to my boss and basically be our in-house expert on the subject so we can move forward with advertising with you? And, you know, I got it down to where I was going to do these lunch and learn sessions at various agencies and companies, and I would get up there and just, you know, tell a little story over the course of half an hour to an hour, talking about the history of podcasting, the history of podcast advertising, how it differs from advertising in other forms of media, and the best practices, you know, of how you can make it work for your brand or business. And as this developed, you know, I started sending it out to people originally just to sort of get feedback and say, like, okay, is there anything I'm leaving out here? And I would just start hearing from people. It's like, oh man, this is a great guide. If someone has a podcast and they want to learn how to monetize it and what the best practices are for doing their own ads, I heard from people that, you know, hey, if I'm teaching a marketing course or I'm doing a seminar, I'd love to include this in that to be able to talk about, you know, it as an emerging trend in new media. And I've even had people come at me and say, you know, I picked up your book because I just got a job in doing digital audio sales and doing podcast ad sales. And my background before this was banners. You know, I was doing a totally different form of media. So thank you for giving me this crash course into the history of the medium.
Well, so based on what your experience has been, why do you think that podcast advertising is one so unique as compared to a lot of other advertising opportunities that are out there? And two, why do you think it's poised to continue to grow? I mean, it's already, you know, they're talking it's a 160 million-ish market last year. It's probably even bigger than that, though, and has lot of room to go.
Yeah, and it's hard to track, right? Because it's like for every network like Twit or Podcast One or Midroll or the, you know, public radio stations, I know a lot of men and women who are doing small podcasts that have audiences in the, you know, single digit or tens of thousands who are making a comfortable living, but they're completely off everyone's radar unless you're part of that podcast audience. But to answer your question, the reason why it's different is that it requires to do it well and do it effectively, it requires buy-in from the host, from the podcaster themselves. It's not like just saying, you know, hey, Fox, I want to run some ads on episodes of New Girl. Instead, you're talking to the host, you're making sure that they have an understanding of the brand, the product or service that's being advertised, and they're really your partner in delivering these ads and helping make them effective and making them germane to the audience that you're trying to reach. And I think the reason that it's going to continue to grow, the second part of your question, is because we're seeing that shout form of advertising, like, hey, we're just yelling a message as many people as possible, whether it's, you know, on the Super Bowl or in primetime or on, you know, local TV. We're seeing that form, you know, even all the way down to digital banner ads is dying. That form of advertising where it's like, hey, let's just spread the widest net we can, put our messaging out there, and hopefully people will buy our product or service. Why podcast advertising is growing and is going to continue to grow is because it is more about engagement. It's more about reaching people that tune out other forms of advertising, but they're going to listen to what you have to say and what your brand has to say if your method of delivery is a trusted source, you know, a podcast host that they have a connection with.
I think that point that you're making about being a trusted source, the fact that, you know, in this day and age that we're living in, you're right, we don't really want to hear from advertising. We want to hear from each other. We love peer review websites. We love suggestions from other people. Even Facebook recently is adding, you know, that recommendation feature to the newsfeed because we want somebody else to tell us, I use this, it works. But I think it's important also that for podcasters, yes, that's great. Somebody is approaching you and says, I want to pay you money to talk about my product. But before you just, you know, see the cash signs in your eyeballs, you know, like a bad cartoon, you have to think to yourself, is this really a product that I can get behind? Because you can, even though you can get paid for it, you can destroy your credibility with the audience if you pick the wrong product to back.
Yeah, and we've seen that happen, right? I mean, we've seen that happen with podcasters who will, you know, joke about their advertisers or sponsors, be like, hey, they're just paying me to say this. Or even in the case with some of the NPR podcasts and, you know, Gimlet was very adamant when they launched with Startup that they're not doing endorsements or testimonials. So I think that has a lower value to brands as opposed to someone like a Leo Laporte or a Scott Johnson at the Frog Pants Network or John Lee Dumas with Entrepreneur on Fire, who stands behind the products and services that they're endorsing and really gives it that personal connection and that personal testimonial, because that is so powerful, you know, to know that they're really getting behind the products and services that they advertise.
And yet, I think on the other side, when you talk about some of those other advertising opportunities, like with Startup, like, you know, what we saw with Serial, where the company isn't going to necessarily endorse the product. What they're going to do is help that product tell the story, help make that brand something a little bit more attractive to the audience.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that, you know, the MailChimp phenomenon, I mean, we saw there that if you can have a quirky ad and that can raise brand awareness and certainly get you some earned media. But I think that it's the tried and true old school form of advertising, you know, and I talk about that in the book when you talk about, you know, the history of advertising, as it were. I mean, with podcasts, you're going back to what, you know, radio was doing in the 1920s and 30s and what TV was doing in the 50s, of having, you know, the star of the show, you know, of having Milton Berle come out, you know, and get done with his variety hour and then tell you about, you know, Kellogg's cornflakes. So it is a throwback to the idea that it's not about, hey, we're having Ridley Scott produce a flashy ad, or, you know, we're doing something that is cinematic in quality or more like a viral video. We're going back to talent having a direct connection with their audience.
I wonder if the transformation that we've seen in advertising that has been, you know, partially helped by what we've seen in podcasting and by some other digital content marketing strategies, I wonder how that's going to play on Sunday during the Super Bowl, which is, you know, obviously the biggest advertising event of the year. Now, you know, in full disclosure, everybody, you're listening to this after the games have aired, and we're talking before on Friday before the weekend. So, you know, we could be very wrong come Tuesday, but I wonder if you think that we're going to see something interesting happening with the advertising, you know, where it's been classically those spend a million, you know, $3, $5, $10 million to create the best ad ever. If you think that maybe their strategy could shift a little bit on Sunday.
Well, you know, with the Super Bowl, I think that is sort of its own unique situation, because so much of what comes with advertising on the Super Bowl is the earned media opportunities to be one of those ads that gets talked about in the press, where you get, you know, all that free additional media coverage based on the ad that you aired. And the Super Bowl, man, tried and true with that, right? I mean, people have been talking about Super Bowl ads, you know, certainly as far back as I can remember. And I think with, we saw the same thing, by the way, with the early innovators in podcast advertising. You know, and I didn't really go into this so much in the book, but, you know, I this comes up a lot, you know, in my personal experience and what I've been a part of. You know, I worked on the YouTube series Lonely Girl 15, and we had the first product integration ad of its kind for Hershey's Icebreaker Sours Gum. And, you know, whatever was spent on that, it was a very low dollar buy. But whatever, you know, awareness of the gum brand that Hershey's got through that online video that I co-wrote, they got, you know, 100 times the value on all the media coverage talking about, oh, hey, Hershey's is trying something out with YouTube. This, at the time, a new medium back in 2007. And back when, you know, Ford was getting in podcasting, early on, I think we saw a lot of the same thing with other companies, that it was not only about that they were advertising on podcasts, but they got a lot of earned media out of being so forward thinking, in terms of investing in the medium.
Yeah. And you talk about that in the book. So I wonder if that's something important that a podcaster should think about, that, you know, maybe you have to be really bold, really interesting, come up with something, a really creative idea for your marketing partners to make that value add that much more creative, you know, take a chance to maybe stir the pot a little, get some extra attention with what you're doing.
Absolutely. You know, with podcasts, I love this. I love seeing when a podcaster really wants to go above and beyond for a sponsor. You know, as an agency, that makes my job a lot easier in terms of the sell, because I can talk about the enthusiasm, right? I mean, I could talk about the idea that, hey, they're pitching all these ideas. Now, sometimes, don't get me wrong, sometimes you have to sort of tamp that down a little bit, because it's very easy to get sort of off brand or off message or do something that perhaps a client won't like. But at the same time, they want to see that. Sponsors want to see that you're enthusiastic about the product and you have ideas about how to communicate it with your audience. So in a way, you know, you want that control as a podcaster, that you're not having a brand come to you and dictate, like, hey, we want you to say X, Y, and Z and talk about how much you love it and just put words in your mouth. You want to communicate to them that you're going to take the ball and run with it. And, you know, you're still going to hit their talking points, right? The key information that they want reiterated in the ad. You're still going to hit a clear and scripted call to action with your URL or offer code, but you're going to make it personal. You're going to have a hook. You're going to have a story. You're going to talk about your experience using the product or about a situation in the past where that product or service would have really saved you some time and money, and you're so glad it exists right now.
So, I mean, that's all incredible advice that any podcaster should be thinking about and, you know, considering if they're even approaching the idea of getting advertising. I strongly suggest you check out the book, because there's other great tips in there. Something you did talk about in the book that I think is just important to bring up, and, you know, is a little more of a tease to listeners as to why they need to read this. You make a great point that you shouldn't just sell all of your ad availability to every different advertiser, that if you are partnering with someone, give them the pre-roll, give them the mid-roll, maybe even also give them the post-roll. That consistency of the message is really important. And I thought specifically sort of the, you know, the pre-roll is such an important, the way you put it, it sort of like builds that first relationship between the audience and the advertiser. I never thought of it that way. I thought it was really, really smart.
Well, and the key is that, you know, we're a maturing medium with podcast ads. I mean, it's been going on now in a fairly consistent form for almost a decade, where best practices have been developed and put into play. And with that has come a lot of market research. You know, companies have done the hard work and big spending for you, in that they've done the focus groups. They've gone and looked at it and said, hey, when we have these two mentions, it's significantly more effective than just putting one mid-roll in the middle of the show. A post-roll costs you absolutely nothing as a podcaster. It costs your audience nothing if they make it to the very, very end. Why not remind them so they don't have to go back and listen for that URL or that offer code, you know? And that's something that you shouldn't be charging for post-rolls. You should be giving that for free to your sponsors that have already invested in your podcast as a partner.
That's brilliant. So now we've talked a lot about how this, you know, the advantages for the podcaster. Just as a little tease, any brands, anybody who's considering, you know, spending the money on podcast ads, what's that one thing that you want them to keep in mind first and foremost, other than, you know, they should pick up the book because that's going to be a huge resource and maybe even talk to you about setting that up. But, you know, what's that one little tip just to say to them, think about this before you, you know, really get too committed to this idea?
Well, I think the thing they need to think about is this is going to be different than any other medium they're investing in and advertising on because of that two-way street. I can give you an example. You know, I can't say the company name, but there's a company that's advertising on the Super Bowl this Sunday that we're in talks with about doing a podcast ad campaign. And we're, you know, having to very gently remind them and push back that, hey, you know, the Super Bowl ad's great. We can even mention the Super Bowl ad in some of the spots that we're planning here. You know, we can have that in the talking points, but it's not the Super Bowl ad. It's not the same creative. That works really well for TV, and we think it's going to absolutely be an ad that's talked about a lot and it's going to do very well for you. But with podcasts, you need to think about it. Like, how can we take the spirit of what you're doing there and communicate that in an authentic way to the podcast audience?
Yeah. And I mean, I guess you can also too talk about how do you use that auxiliary content? Like, yes, in the podcast itself, you have to have the relationship. You have to tell the authentic story. You have to have that connection with the listener. But, you know, podcasters also, they have websites, they have Twitter feeds, they have everything else. Maybe there's value in saying, as our partner, we'd love if you also retweeted our said Super Bowl ad as part of this package.
Yeah, and a lot of sponsors ask for various value adds in the form of social media, mailing lists, things of that nature. I've yet to see that, you know, unless you're really established on social as like a standalone influence marketer, it's normally not something that you charge for separately. But I'll tell you, companies love that when you offer that as an extra bonus or value add. And again, it's this idea, right, that we're building a relationship and building a partnership. So the thing now, like, and I'm working on this because the updated 2017 edition of this book is going to be coming out. God, I mean, the clock is ticking in about 6 weeks now, after the new Infinite Dial study that, you know, Edison Research and Triton Digital do. After their study comes out, that's going to be sort of the final last bit of updating. But what I'm working on now crafting is chapters about dynamic advertising and about how dynamic digital insertion is going to be shifting and evolving the podcast medium. And the reason I point to that now is, you know, kind of like we're talking about it, is a lot of sponsors that have been involved in podcasts, really, they expect certain things as just sort of extra love that you're giving them, right? Like an extra bonus or value add. So it's this idea, I mean, let's just talk about how podcasts are priced, by and large, is that you look at the average minimum download you get per episode, you look at what your CPM is, you multiply that together, you know, CPM being cost per 1,000 listeners, you multiply that together, so if you have 10,000 listeners, a $20 CPM, that's $200 per podcast that you're charging flat. Now, any downloads that you deliver for that sponsor above 10,000, that's a bonus. That's a value add. Quite frankly, that's how we get them to pay a $20 CPM, is we're saying, hey, worst case scenario, you're getting 10,000 downloads, but maybe there's a marquee guest. Maybe something happens in the news this week. Maybe something goes viral, and next thing you know, you're getting 15, 20, maybe even 5 times the amount of downloads we promised you as a bonus. They're taking that bet based on paying a higher CPM than other media. Because remember, they go on YouTube and pay like a $2 CPM for just a pre-roll ad. They can buy digital banners for pennies. That's why they're paying you a $20 cost per 1,000, is that, you know, you're getting the authentic ad, they're getting the authentic endorsement, and they're going to get that love as a partner of your podcast. So you're going to want to retweet them. You're going to want to favorite their tweets. Maybe you want to say something nice about them on Twitter. Mention, by the way, in a hashtag that it is a sponsor. So you're very transparent with your audience about that relationship. But those little bonuses and perks, podcast sponsors have come to expect that, and that's part of the reason why they're paying the premium CPMs. The challenge with dynamic is going to be this idea that if you're saying, hey, we get 10,000 downloads of the episode, and they're paying $200 for a spot, they're paying for 10,000 downloads. At download number 10,001, we've got a new sponsor in there we're charging. Sponsors really don't like that, and I think that that's threatening the soul of podcast advertising as we know it. So part of what I've been working on and what we're really going to unveil with the 2017 edition, the next edition of the book, is a path forward for how podcast ads can incorporate the dynamic idea. So maybe if you've got a two-year-old episode of your podcast, you don't have the same ads on it. You know, maybe there's a grace period, but the idea is that you can refresh that messaging, maybe even for the same sponsor, but just with whatever their current offer is. So we're trying to find a way to strike that balance, so podcasters are being able to maximize the value of their inventory, but at the same time, retaining that partnership feel and not just turning it into a transactional relationship.
Well, as soon as you guys are ready with the update, you'll let us know, because we want to talk to you about that and find out what's new going on in this space. Before I let you go, I just have to ask you, as someone who probably has to listen to a lot of podcasts for business, for work, you know, as someone who added to, like, I have the same thing, like I listen to audio all day and I don't, you know, I covet the little time I have for pleasure. What is your joy podcast? What is the one that that's the one that as soon as that comes out every week, like that's the one you're going to download for your commute. That's when you're hearing every day.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. You know, I went through this in my first career as a journalist covering video games, where I loved video games, where I got into it, and then it became work. And I realized quickly, I mean, everyone can imagine this idea. Somewhere out there, there's a professional ice cream taster who absolutely loathes going into work every day. Because, right. Oh my God, I don't want to taste more ice cream. So I love podcasts, and I find that I still get a lot of joy and a lot of value. I get a lot of value out of stuff like Entrepreneur on Fire. I think John Lee Dumas, you know, now, you know, full transparency, you know, we do business with this podcast and place some sponsors there on a non-exclusive basis. But I think he's just super positive, and I love starting off my day with his, you know, incredibly energetic conversations with thought leaders. I think that it puts me in the right frame of mind to go about doing my business. And I love, passion project podcasts. I think sometimes it's stuff that I'm not even sure how it could be most effectively monetized. But I love stuff like How Did This Get Made, you know, where they're just really enjoying talking about bad movies. I love listening to interview podcasts with, I think interview podcasts, by the way, are just so amazing, right? Because it's this idea that you get to sample what the format of it is, and you come into it, you know, your portal is a great guest, but then if you love the podcast and the format and the host, then you listen to more episodes. So I think, you know, and you know this, I mean, it's like this is why it's so important to get interviews. That's like the best gateway to bring new people into your podcast. So I love those. And to that end, I know it's getting featured in some love. This is not a podcast we do business with, but I've just started diving into the Carson Project. They're getting a lot of publicity right now because they have Michael J. Fox as a guest. But what the host of that podcast does is just goes and interviews people who've been on the Johnny Carson show and talks about their experience, you know, in dealing with Johnny, their experience and their different appearances. And I love that. I love that somebody is such a nerd about the Tonight Show, you know, in that era, that they've devoted all this time to doing a podcast exploring, you know, that golden age. So, I really, really enjoy sort of discovering new things that are like that. Someone that just has this obsessive attitude towards chronicling a subject that they're very passionate about.
Yeah, I mean, just today, there was a comment on one of the Facebook groups. Somebody asked me, like, I want to do this for my podcast. I mean, I'm a little bit of a nerd on the topic, so I don't know if it's too much. And it's just like... That's why people are listening to you. You're a nerd on the topic. They're going out of their way to download your podcast because they are also nerds on the same topic. If you're like, go do it, be it. Like, if that's your passion, that's what's going
to
sell.
Yeah. And by the way, so to put my business hat on for a second, I mean, if the hyper niche, the sort of self-selecting audience of having a very narrow topic podcast, those are very easy to sell to the right sponsors. Yes, you might not attract everybody, but there are people out there that will very specific, you know, brands and businesses that will want to reach your very specific audience. And this is an opportunity. And I want to say this to any smaller podcast out there. If you have a hyper niche podcast, you can be, you know, maybe at 5,000 downloads per episode. You just need to figure out what sponsors want to reach that hyper niche and go reach out to them directly. Like, you don't need me. You don't need an agency. You don't need a network. Like, reach out directly to the companies that would benefit from that. Because I guarantee you, if you have a curated audience of 5,000 people that are willing to buy that company's product or service, you can do some business with them.
If you're selling the archives of the Johnny Carson show, there's clearly an audience for you over here.
Yeah, definitely.
They exist. They're right there. They're asking for it.
Yeah. Or other nostalgia products. You know, I mean, other stuff that taps into that. You know, and that's what I do a lot of. I do it in a different way now. When I was at Twit, I was always looking for hyper opportunities that spoke to Leo Laporte's interests and the audience interests of the Twit audience. So I would do cold outreach all the time to companies based on, hey, Leo's been talking about your product specifically. He's already a fan of it. Why don't we come on board? What I do now as an agency for some of the larger podcasts that we work with is, you know, I'm looking for those same opportunities where it's like, how can I connect these two people and form a relationship based on what I see as an opportunity that's already there and already existing? The flip side of that, and the bulk majority of our business, are sponsors coming to us and they want us to find those opportunities. So thankfully, you know, with Adopter Media, like, we're very strong in the business vertical, in the tech vertical, in the health and fitness vertical. But God, I had someone today that wants specific, and this is like a company that's very established, that's looking to reach an audience that's interested in rural land investment opportunities. And I'm like, okay, so I got with my team and we're looking now at, like, okay, what are podcasts that appeal to more rural culture and people that would be interested in this? So it's fascinating to me to build out these other verticals. And it just goes to show, we're going to see so many businesses coming into this space, right? I mean, podcast advertising is going to be worth over $200 million in 2017, on its way to $500 million for 2020, that there is no topic right now that cannot be monetized in podcasting. And if it can't be right now, very soon you'll be able to get sponsors for it.
Well, if given that I believe that's true, clearly you speak with passion, believe it's true. I'm sure everybody listening to us hopes that it's true. What you need to do first and foremost is you need to check out Podcast Advertising Works, How to Turn Engaged Audiences into Loyal Customers. The author is Glenn Rubenstein. He's the founder of Adopter Media. We've got a link to the book on podtopod.com's bookshelf, so you can find it there. And it is fantastic read, great resources. Glenn, this has been a great conversation. We're definitely going to have you back on the show so we can, you know, see the updates, see where it changes. I think dynamic advertising is going to open up a whole new array of conversations about how podcasting works. And I think there are other topics in this space that I don't want to talk on this mic right now, but I'm sure you and I can talk off air and do that for hours on end. So it has been an absolute pleasure getting a chance to chat with you about this, getting that information, sharing this information with everyone. And thank you so much for talking to us here today on Pod to Pod.
Thanks for having me.